I told him, give me a shot and nothing will fail. We will, I promise you it will happen, right? 4 years later, I think we're in the top whatever X percent of originators in the country. I know quite a number of brokers. I don't know one that's outproducing us right now. And I attribute that to the ability for us to resonate with our clients, not just for one loan, but we build a game plan, right? We build a path and a strategy to accomplish what they're trying to do. And all of that comes from education.
Welcome to the Build a Broker podcast. Each episode, you'll hear the journey of newly minted mortgage brokers from concept to first close loan on their road to success.
Christian went to school to become a chemist, but once he got his degree, he quickly pivoted to the world of real estate and finance. You'll hear how today's guest's educational approach to mortgages and real estate got him in a position to be a co-host of one of the biggest podcasts on mortgages for real estate investors. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Aim high with Rocket Pro TPO. Their people-first approach offers unmatched support for mortgage professionals. Whether you're looking to boost productivity with their top-notch broker platform and stellar training, or are dreaming of becoming an independent mortgage broker, they've got your back every step of the way. Visit rocketprotpo.com/NMP today to get started. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS number 3030.
When Christian Bachelder, the broker owner of One Brokerage and the host of Bigger Pockets Mortgage Mondays, met his co-host and business partner, David Green, he was already on his way to building a career that was focused on education with a systematic approach to making sure the client is left in a significantly better position than when they first started working with them. But not only mortgages, also real estate, insurance, and even property management. His education-first approach is what leads him to build trust with his podcast listeners. By using that relationship, it happens to translate into many, many new opportunities for his team of 40-plus MLOs. All right, welcome back to the Build a Broker podcast. With me today, I've got Christian Bachelder. Did I say that properly? With your German, ancestors, be proud of
that. That's right. That would get the job done for sure.
Fantastic. So, all right. So, Christian is probably like our biggest celebrity that we've had on the podcast. Really excited to have you here. Christian is, he just got into the business, really. I mean, relative to like all the other people that we've had on here, Christian, you got into business, what year?
20. Been working throughout when I was in school, but really officially 2016, 2017 range, right around there.
That's fantastic. So let's talk about X, So how did you get pulled into the mortgage business? What were you going to college for, by the way?
Yeah, that's usually where the crazy story starts. I have probably the weirdest route to being a high volume broker that probably exists out there. I went to college for chemical engineering, of all things. That's usually people's reaction. You just put your hands up and say, what the hell, right? I went to UC Berkeley. I attended it because I had a knack for the sciences. I was good with numbers, with formulas, with equations, with calculating heat transfer and all these crazy things that you have to do in engineering. It was a conundrum because I was good at it. Usually the things that you're good at lead to a level of enjoyment in your life, right? People like doing the things that they're good at.
Yeah.
I did not. I was very good at something that I did not enjoy, which is kind of an unfortunate thing to have happen, right? So I immediately graduated and I kind of did a double take right at my last, past years of college. And I said, I looked through the industry. I had a couple internships, a couple job offers, and they were good. They were 150 plus K a year starting salary jobs, like really solid offers for engineers coming. Berkeley's got a really like prestigious chemistry program, right? Everybody goes into like oil. I have old buddies that work at like SpaceX and Tesla developing like their coatings on the aircraft and all that, right? But it wasn't exciting to me. I didn't want to sit in front of a computer. Didn't want to sit there and plug equations in to like create, chemicals and plant designs and all that. So funny enough, I just reached out to my network, one of them being the father to one of my childhood friends who I knew was a chemical engineer who no longer worked in engineering. And I said, hey, what did you do? What are you doing now? And I knew he was relatively successful. So I said, hey, I'm curious. I don't have a job. I'm figuring it out. Right. I was living with my mom. Right. Went back home, living for free. And he said, well, I'm in finance now. I said, cool. What does that mean? right? And I was one of the kids that, unfortunately, there's a lot of us in both my generation as well as the one coming now, where I was taught to do what my family did, right? My mom was a nurse. My doctor was grandpa.
Yeah.
My uncle's a surgeon. Like, I was taught that you go into the sciences and that's the only way you succeed. You go study science, whether that's in health, whether that's in research, whether that's in education, you study science, right? Funny enough, when I was in high school, I didn't even know that you could major in like business or finance. I didn't even know that was an option. I thought you went to college and you get a science degree. Like, you choose biology, chemistry, or anatomy. That's like what you got, right? Which is hilarious thinking now that there's like 4,000 different majors you can choose from. Obviously I chose one of the ones that my parents concealed the rest from me, right? But once I graduated, I was like, wow, it doesn't seem like the engineers are making the money. It seems like all these business owners and these entrepreneurs and these, you know, people that you see, you know, who are really successful, you know, can you name one famous chemist who's wealthy? Like, probably not, you know, you probably can't, right? And that kind of bothered me. I'm like, well, this is what I learned my whole life. You should grow up and have success. And of course there's engineers that are wealthy, but, you know, the people that you see are not, right? So I said, well, it looks like they're in real estate. So it turns out this mentor, so to speak, that I reached out to, he was kind of a fun combination. He was a real estate broker, a mortgage broker, and an insurance broker. Oh, so wow. All the brokers who watch this show, how hard is it to get one client? It's really hard. It's very hard to convince one person to get a mortgage, right? Well, what if you could get three lines of business from one person? What if you could be their realtor, you could be their lender, and you could be their insurance agent? That's pretty cool. That's what he built his business around. Now, he was a small volume brokerage, but you don't have to be a big volume brokerage when you have three commission checks coming in, right? I really liked that model. So within my first couple of years of working for him, I became a loan officer, I became a real estate agent, and I became an insurance agent. Pretty cool. Started offering all three lines of the services. I promise you, your initial consultation call with me looked a lot different than any other lender. I was quoting you insurance policies. I was talking about negotiating terms on your purchase contract. I was talking about your rates on your refinance, like all those mixed into one, right? I then started to dabble in property management, right? So I basically wanted to develop like this whole one-stop shop idea. Started to get a name for myself, started to get a little recognition, started to, you know, people understood like this guy knows what he's doing. I'm probably the only person in the world who's read through every single page of the Fannie Mae guidelines. I don't think there's any broker out there that can say they've honestly done that. They read Pathfinder. That's not the Fannie Mae guidelines, right? But I've actually read the pages. And I converted all of what was naturally my like gifted engineer brain, so to speak, to problem solving in a different realm. Right? That basically led to me working in the same circles. I started working with this kind of network called Bigger Pockets that is very investor minded. It's how to help people succeed through real estate. I realized that there was kind of an underservicing of that area. You know, every broker can do a first time home buyer, 3.5% down FHA loan. I get it. They're easy. W-2 salary. You don't have to stress. Yeah. I don't like those. I think they're boring. I do them. Don't get me wrong. They're awesome. We take those clients, but like where I think I really appeal to most people is, hey, I don't even care who does your first loan. Right. Let's start building a roadmap to get you property 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 15, 20, 50, 100. Right. Like, let's actually build a strategy that we can replicate and implement to where are you and where do you want to get 5 years from now? And how can I bridge the gap?
Right? So at what point in your career did you realize, okay, you know, something, I have a bigger opportunity with real estate investors versus the first time home buyers?
100%. This happened mainly with my involvement in Bigger Pockets. So I got into this network. It's basically started as a forum. Now there's podcasts. They're the number one real estate podcast in America. I host a YouTube series on Bigger Pockets called Mortgage Mondays now. But ultimately that led to me meeting my current business partner, David Green, who is the host of the podcast and big recognized name face. He's a real estate celebrity, right? We partnered together. He was looking to start a lending company. He had tried and it hadn't worked with 5 or 6 brokers prior to me. I told him, give me a shot and nothing will fail. We will, I promise you it will happen. Right. 4 years later, I think we're in the top whatever X percent of originators in the country. I know quite a number of brokers. I don't know one that's outproducing us right now. And I attribute that to the ability for us to resonate with our clients, not just for one loan, but we build a game plan, right? We build a path and a strategy to accomplish what they're trying to do. And all of that comes from education. So obviously we have this show, Mortgage Mondays, that we host, that it's not to generate business, not do anything. It's literally, you need to understand what you're doing with the biggest purchase that you're making in your life, which for most people is their home, right? And we have really become an education first, loan second origination company.
Yeah.
Which I think more companies should do.
Education first, loan second. So what is that? What is the process of working with you? How does that look different than working with any other mortgage company in terms of the borrower experience?
Yeah, just like how Rocket has set their TISMs, you know, UWM has their pillars, you know, all these companies set like their core values, right? Yeah. Ours, I like to say, is we have to move the borrower forward. So if it's, you know, if they're paying X amount in rent right now and buying them a home would be twice their payment and they're expensing all the money in their bank account, like we will say, no, we don't feel comfortable doing that loan. Now, we can't give loan denials because obviously that's compliance. But we tell them like, hey, you should probably pursue this with another lender because we believe that you should be put in a better position with your next investment, right? Mm-hmm. So really, all we do is we operate, when did the borrower meet us and where did they last leave off with us? There should be a benefit that was realized in that time, right? We have to leave the borrower in a better position than when we met them, right? So if that's cashing out of a property, well, you're losing cash flow doing that. So if you're cashing out of a rental property, right, you're now drawing up all the cash flow that you did have. Well, that means we have to take that money and have a plan what to do with it. So we won't do a cash out investment property unless we have a plan for what we're doing with that money, right? Yeah. We have to reimburse the loss that you're realizing because there's no benefit yet. The benefit comes from the reinvesting. That's where we develop strategy, right? We talk, what type of property are we targeting? How are we going to model that loan? Are we going to have to go non-conforming, conforming? And we really start walking the borrower through what their options are and really how to accomplish. If your goal is in 5 years to own 10 properties, that doesn't happen by chance, right? Like we actually have to build a very intentional, you know, directive that we're going to follow to do that. Right?
So have you taken any of your borrowers who were like the first time home buyers or regular conventional borrowers and help them become real estate investors?
100%. A huge percentage of our buyer base. That's exactly what we do. We take them from, you're literally buying your first home. I mean, I'm thinking of names right off the top of my head that my first deal with them was 5-6 years ago buying their home. And now they own 10-15 rentals.
Wow.
And they're cash flow positive and they don't have to work a W-2 anymore. I mean, some of them are partnered with me. Sometimes every now and then I'll partner with a client and we'll go buy a house if I really love the strategy and they've shown proof of concept. I mean, I think of those people where it's like working with us wasn't a loan. Like that's not a loan. You've passed what a loan looks like at that point. Yeah. That's like, we changed your life, right? You don't have to work your W-2 anymore. That's pretty cool.
Now, right? In these cases, are these people that knew the path was going to lead to that, or were they just literally originally coming to say, hey, get me a mortgage so I can buy a home for my family?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think we're definitely unique in the amount. I mean, we don't buy leads. We don't do trigger calls. We don't do, you know, all this stuff. So we're fortunate in this aspect. I think this would be hard to replicate if you're not already viewed as an educator, yeah, right? So because we're on bigger products, we get people who reach out to us who say, I don't know what my plan should look. Help me build that, right? If that starts with my first primary purchase, cool. Like if you're a renter and you just need to get some equity under your belt, you got to buy a house. That's the first one, right? That's you got to get something where you're living that you can start building equity in. Let's target properties that maybe need some renovation, something that we can finance to get, you know, some more equity into that property. And then we can start talking about how real estate can start buying you real estate by cashing out and buying a rental, right? Very, very rarely does a borrower come to us that says, this is my plan. This is how I intend to enact that plan. And I'm not going to wander from it at all. Like usually there's an aura of if they're reaching out to us, they're also looking for the guidance, not just the loan. Yeah. Right. And we have a real estate sales team that helps them. You know, we have an insurance company that insures the property that makes sure if you have a claim, the house burns down, you actually get paid back. You know, we have a property management company. When you manage it, like, is it actually going to cash flow? Well, we can help you say that, right? And obviously, you can use any of those aspects individually, but when you work them all together, it's a pretty cool one-stop shop, right?
So you kind of one up your mentor because your mentor was only doing three services. Now, actually, you have the property management. So I think this is it. You've taken it to that next level. But yeah. So I got to ask, you know, in terms of price, like in rates, does it ever come up to do people at all ever say, hey, you know something? I think I'm going to go someplace else because it's been 8 to a point. Because I feel like when you're educating like this and you're changing lives, like, it just doesn't even make a difference if it's an 1/8 of a point less going to 100%.
I'd say it happens. I would say if you really stacked it up and took a percentage, people would probably be shocked at how much less it happens.
Yeah.
But it happens for sure. We get shopped. Every broker gets shopped. And if they're telling you they're not, they're lying. Right. It is important that you're competitive with rate. I mean, having a good rate and a solid product is essential to helping people develop their plan. Right. Yeah. Like, you have to be able to use good financing. Am I going to be the cheapest loan out there? No. If you go search the deep dark web, I'm sure a guaranteed rate or somebody who outsources all their underwriting to China or India and doesn't answer their phone after 5 p.m. will probably be cheaper than me. That's fine. But text me at midnight.
Yeah.
Like, text me at midnight. See if you get an answer. Like, after we hang up here, Andrew, I will give you my phone number. Text me at midnight. Watch me answer.
Okay. All right.
I'm reporting this back.
Please do.
Do you want to own your future? Be empowered on your journey to becoming an independent mortgage broker with Rocket Pro TPO. With Rocket, you're not just getting guidance, you're gaining a real partner in your success story. You'll feel their genuine care and appreciate their personalized service as you take this significant step forward in your career. Plus, their nearly 4 decades of industry expertise make them an unbeatable choice. Visit rocketprotpo.com/NMP today to get started. Equal housing lender, license in all 50 states, NMLS number 3030.
I used to make this funny joke when, you know, we do a lot of outreach to like realtors, right? Like, when we're in contract with an agent, our goal is to get that agent to become our referral partner. You know, my pitch used to be, you're going to love me because I don't have kids and I don't take vacations. All I got is this little guy back here.
I just saw, for those that are audio only, funny is the adorable little brown dog actually sitting on the couch, just chilling, waiting actually for you patiently be done so he could have some petting time.
That's right.
And why mortgage broker? Because I'm looking at the numbers. I mean, clearly, you know, you have actually enough business, but just from yourself, forget about the other, you know, 40 loan officers that you guys have, right? About 40 loan officers.
I think around that. Yeah. I don't have the number off the top of my head, but it's in that ballpark. Yeah.
So, why the mortgage broker model? And is it right now mortgage broker model? In the future become mortgage banker? What is your feeling as far as
we're in the process of the banker inclusion right now, where we're going to, you know, start lending our own money and get our line of credit and all that. I like the broker model. I think it's really nice to be able to offload the responsibility to the lender. And sure, there might be some more profitability on there, but my flexibility to have the amount of lending partnerships that I do. I mean, if you've heard of a wholesale lender, we're appointed with them. Like, there's not one that's out there that I don't think we are.
Yeah.
We can offer every product. I mean, we can do HELOCs on investment properties. Nobody does those. Nobody does those. We can do hard money loans to finance 100% of your renovation. Nobody does those. Right. We can lend on non-conforming units. Nobody can do that. We can lend on manufactured homes. Nobody can do that. You know, like, when you combine all these things, like, our goal is, like, we understand with the format, like, bigger pockets funneling to us, people are going to come with some wild, funky stuff. Right. Yeah. Like, we need to be able to finance it. Right. And I think the power in the broker model is just the wide range of products and access to things that you can get. I don't think that can be replicated in any other model in the industry, right? I think it's something that really sets brokers apart.
So where was the point that you decided to say, okay, we're going out on our own and you're going to create your own thing? Like, what was that? Was there a particular moment in time that this happened?
Yeah. I mean, I did that personally when I partnered with David, right? So, I mean, I was just an LO, right, at my old company prior. I was almost on 100% commission split. So I was kind of like the company owner. I filed our mortgage call reports, right? Like, I was kind of the broker. But when, you know, David reached out to me and he wanted to start building something, that was time where, you know, I obviously going out on your own and you don't have the support and resources, you need to make enough of a baseline and income to be able to do those things, right? I got to pay for processors. I got to pay these people no matter if I close or not. You know, I got a little bit of a cheat code because somebody of the caliber of David Green reached out to me. But that was my personal moment. The moment it made sense to have my own shop, to control the systems and control the processes that we have ridiculous systems. Our processors and our loan officers don't do their own pre-approvals. They don't do their own underwriting. They don't do their own submissions. They have an intro call. They have to understand what the borrower's goals are, and they become advisors. Everything else is automated for them in the background, right? Wow. Which is like, that's pretty crazy. We built that because I basically saw what I used to work with as an independent LO, and I said, let me build what I wish I had, right? Yeah. And I said, I wish I never had to order appraisal. Okay, let's not order appraisals. Let's build a system that can happen. I wish I didn't have to have my nose deep in tax returns reviewing what Schedule C's and Schedule E's and all these things look like. Well, let's develop, like, we have an underwriting department. We have a pre-approval department where it's like people that all they do is pre-approvals all day. You send it into queue, it comes back 3 hours later and like your file's pre-approved. Pretty cool, right? And all that's done without any split from the LO doesn't pay for that. And obviously there's a company split, but they're not directly compensating the pre-approval team, right? Which is kind of cool. So we found a very unique way to make it work. I think obviously a lot of people are attracted to working with us. I mean, we employ probably one in like 15 people that reach out to us. I'm not like a Nexa or a C2 where I will sponsor any loan officer license that reaches out to us. I don't believe in that model. I think if somebody represents your name, they should believe in your name and strive towards the same things you do.
Yeah. And you're feeding them. I mean, let's call it a spade a spade. It's like, yeah. You know, you work for these other companies, you know, you eat what you kill. You're bringing them the food, yeah, that they get to feed off of. So I think it's a completely a different model. And when you were setting up the mortgage company, in terms of like, you know, what are some of the resources that you relied on to help get everything set up?
I had a really good core group of our first 4 to 5 people. That is funny. I liken the start of our company a lot to the Revolutionary War in America, where farmers had to become soldiers, right? It was like nobody was a trained military, nothing. You grabbed your pitchfork and you went and fought. You know, it's like that's what you had, right? And America had farmers and settlers, and that's the people who were fighting in the war, right? We took 3 to 4 people that had zero experience in loans, which I thought was a good thing because they didn't have any bad habits. Mm-hmm. Right. So I got to train them from ground zero, literally, and we built the skyscraper, which was kind of cool. So it was a long process, right? So it's hard working with people that don't have the knowledge or experience. But it also means they don't have the bad habits of, you know, there's just, I'm sure it's nobody on this podcast, it's nobody associated with you guys. It's just, there's a lot of bad lenders and bad loan officers in the industry. Yeah. There's a lot of bait and switching. There's a lot of trigger leads where, I mean, go get your credit pulled, see what happens. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. You'll get 40 calls. Like that shouldn't exist. You know, that shouldn't be around. Like I think anybody who actually produces their own business realizes those are kind of like,
it's bottom feeding.
It's the sewer rats of the industry, right? Oh, yeah. Like there's no place for that.
Yeah, when we find these people, they'll talk about it. We ask them to come talk about it on the road. They're like, oh no,
of course,
yes. You know,
because so, what are you gonna say? You pay TransUnion for leads? Come on,
yeah. Like I pay TransUnion. So when you run their credit, I pay actually, you know, to get those yeah, leads.
And I call them and say I can do a 5% rate, and then I pull their credit, and it turns out it's a 9% rate. Oops.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Oh, I'm calling from the processing department. We just need to get your updated bank statements. Yeah. So I wanted to, in terms of your tech stack, how did you actually get your tech stack stood up? Is there any particular, you know, resource from the industry, lenders? Like, where did you, because listen, it takes to get licensed, to get, you know, your procedure set up. Like, where did you get this stuff from?
A lot of it was just kind of us creating systems, but I got to give credit where credit's due. You know, we started our brokerage career sponsored with both UWM and Quicken. We picked the UWM side for quite a while. We are now with I say Quicken, it's Rocket, right? Yeah. We are now with Rocket fully. We have terminated our sponsorship with UWM. I do not believe in the way that they are going about their business. So we have very, very, very clearly and decisively chosen a side at this point. I mean, in terms of Rocket, I love Pathfinder. I love, you know, they're getting us signed up with the correspondent line. So we're looking at that option. You know, obviously all the options that their portal provides. We do a lot of non-conventional lending, which we can't send to Rocket. So, you know, we do a lot of, you know, DSCR and hard money and flicks and flip and bridge money lending. With that, there's like no tech, right? Those lenders, a lot of them don't even have portals. You send them like an email with a 1003, right? For that stuff, we rely heavily on our internal systems.
Yeah.
So we have a communication app. You know, we operate the company out of, it's funny, it's a Discord account, which is was originally made for like gaming, but we have a Discord company account, right? Where everybody's sitting in their Discord voice channels all day with their loan officers and processors. We don't send emails or call or text internally. You're in a Discord channel. You don't need to call your loan officer, right? We have bulletin boards that people post when they find new lenders and when they find new cool underwriting criteria. So really, it's like if one loan officer finds something unique, like in like a Nexa or something like that, for instance, I'm not bad mouthing. I'm just saying like, you're not going to benefit from another loan officer finding some new lender, right? Like maybe they post their lender list every month, but you know, if somebody finds something new, it's on a bulletin board in our Discord the moment it happens, right? And everybody benefits if the company scales upwards, right? Because everybody's feeding off the company, right? So that's good. I mean, our LOS, we use Arrive. Arrive's the best loan originating software that I have personally found. It's awesome. AUS, lender pricing, credit pulls directly from the portal, complete customer communication from the portal. And then for our CRM, we use Jungo, which is Salesforce. Everybody's used Salesforce probably at this point.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a CRM that can stand up against Salesforce in the country. They got their thing figured out, right?
Yep, 100%. Well, that's great, man. So listen, wrapping up, I'm going to ask you one last question. All right, so
sure.
We can go back to when you were in high school. So it's like, I guess, when you graduated 2007, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So 2007, let's actually put the scenario. So Irreplaceable by Beyonce is playing on the radio. That was what's the top song there. And if you could have a conversation with yourself then, the Christian of 2007, would you have told yourself actually to go a different direction and not even actually go to college for the path that you've done?
I'm going to answer in a weird way. My answer would be yes, I would probably say that, and it would probably be a mistake, which is weird, right? So I would probably go give that advice. Don't go spend these years educating yourself in engineering and, you know, all the stuff that you're not going to use and waste this money on tuition and rent and everything else that you paid. Cause also to live in the Bay Area is not cheap. I'm sure we all know that.
Yeah.
But I think it would have been a mistake to not do it. I think the life skills that I learned, the advice that I retained, you know, I got to, my professors were Nobel laureates. Like they were Nobel Prize winners, right? Wow. Just the ability to be involved with those type of minds on the daily, I think is something that I can't take for granted. Even though I didn't end up using the actual technical skills, I definitely learned a lot of life skills too, you know, that I think I still use to this day. So I would like to say, yes, I would go give that advice to not do it. I don't think it would have been the right move though. I think if I could do it over again, I would probably do something very similar because I think it ended me up with the skills that I needed to accomplish what we're doing today. Right?
That's awesome. Christian, thank you so much. Really, really appreciate your time here.
Absolutely. Yeah, appreciate you having me. This has been a great time.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening to another Build a Broker podcast.
Connect with the mortgage experts and elevate your professional journey. Visit rocketprotpo.com/NMP today. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS number 3030.
So when Christian shared his quick pivot from chemist to a career in finance, it's taken back. You know, you hear different ways people get into the mortgage business, but this is definitely a non-traditional one. But, you know, I think actually a lot of those same skills that he had as a chemist, you know, things like problem solving, attention to detail, and really just math, just knowing actually the numbers, knowing your numbers is what helped him, you know, become successful and what led to his launching the One Brokerage back in 2021. Oh, and by the way, yeah, I texted Christian at midnight. He texted back right away. Thanks for listening.